Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
God's peace to you in the name of Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. When a person buys a vehicle, it never hurts, as you know, to pop the hood, as Dad always taught me. Who knows what kind of engine you're getting, no matter how pretty it may look, right? Easter Sunday, you see, united Christians to the most basic facts that Jesus died and rose from the dead. On the second Sunday of Easter, things now kind of go off in a different direction, you see. We now consider what the risen Jesus means for the church in the world, not just the one who delivers us to everlasting life. And that's where things get kind of messy, doesn't it? For instance, what we notice, though, is that on that first Sunday of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, he was very busy being consistent. He was going around showing that he had risen. While everyone else, though, were just a bunch of people being scattered. He appeared to different people, though, throughout the day, like Mary Magdalene, the women, and even the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Yet it was only until the evening of that first day of Easter that it finally all came together. You could picture it this way: on the first Sunday, as Jesus being the good shepherd on Easter Sunday, who was gathering in his sheep into a flock. Of course, the flock, though, was together, but they still hid behind locked doors. The church did not have peace from a certain disciple, though, did they? Peter wasn't being all proud on that day. Nobody was. And it didn't come from some fancy plan to save the day. When we pop the hood, the engine at work in the church is Jesus and his word proclaiming peace. Now, peace is a very rich word that goes all the way back into Hebrew, and that word you might know already, it's shalom. Especially important, though, is to note how peace is about wholeness and security relating not just to the individual, but also to the entire communities and relationships among people. Jesus provides peace that the world cannot give. In a scattered, fragmented world, only Jesus is providing peace, not just for the individual, but for whole communities, whole churches. The risen Jesus delivers peace to his church, to have fellowship with God and each other, based only on this and purely because of this: forgiveness. Peace is forgiveness to the fearful. Fear brings all kinds of anxieties upon life. Good Friday, of course, as you know, struck fear into the disciples, leaving them to run off in fear. On the third day, the risen Jesus appeared to some, but by the end of the day, locked doors proved that they had more fear of the Jews. Their minds were still fixed on earthly things. We know that fears over instability and insecurity have driven whole societies into the arms of fearless dictators, right? Those are the ones that look so tough and strong, but there's a reason why they can do what they do. And whole societies have been entrapped, trusting in men and not God. Fear is also very personal. It affects us. It raises worries over death, be it with myself or yourself or that of someone we love. Sin even breeds a kind of fear, where hiding it from others is because we feel the shame. We don't want to tell my spouse or let my other brothers and sisters in Christ know what I struggle with. But the problem is that it still leaves guilt to devour you up from the inside. And so the risen Jesus came to the fearful with his peace for life. Locked doors, you see, we lock our doors too, but it's kind of a false security. If someone wants to get in your home, I don't have to go through the locked door. I can just break your sliding glass window, right? So the reality is Jesus appeared to them with a far better comfort than man can devise. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." They were focused on saving their lives, which was no different from what happened at the cross, right? They were trying to save their lives because they didn't want to go with what Jesus was going through. But Jesus didn't hold a grudge on them because they were doing it again. Instead, his word of peace proclaimed forgiveness, proving if God was not against them, they really truly were safe for all the fears in life. And there are so many. The greatest enemy, though, is death. And it has been conquered by us through Jesus. This is the good word. This is why people run off in fear, because we have to realize that we're not immortal. This is why we can't hide aging in the reality of true life in this world. But God has unlocked, though, the reality of his life from the grave and also keeps us at peace so that we don't have to hide. St. John says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is the only leader who upholds the church, providing peace that comes from the forgiving power of his word. And you heard that today. He stood here and he was able to say, I forgive you all your sins. That's a peace that comes purely from Jesus and his word. Peace is also forgiveness to the distressed. More than stuck in a rut, the disciples had no peace to move forward. They didn't know how to go forward. What are they going to do now? They had lost focus because the crucifixion of Jesus had left them confused and pretty much shattered. Those who were to be salt of the earth and light to the world found themselves trapped behind locked doors. Distress has a way of undoing what we want to do, since there's no sense of peace. And so this is why a spouse or a child needs support, some peace. But we also know that lack of peace is what causes a lot of distress, and that's why the church struggles so much in our culture, because the culture doesn't support the church anymore. And Christian churches have lost purpose. Church night isn't there. Sunday means nothing to most people. Christmas, just about presents and getting together with families. And what do we do? What do we do? This distress has caused conflict in relationships. Let false teaching be praised despite what Scripture says. And it's even turned the church's peace in many ways into a product of man that will give us peace, something we can put together on our terms. Yet the risen Jesus gave his disciples peace that the world could not give. He said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus undid the confusion and distress because his word of forgiveness had the purpose to give peace. There was nothing else Jesus wanted to do. That was the plan. Instead of being paralyzed, his church was to move forward, sharing forgiveness, because Christ went before them, speaking forgiveness. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from anybody, it's withheld. Now, realize the second part of that's always the hard part to hear, but the withholding isn't because you don't want to give it to somebody, it's they don't want it. It's to see a person in sin and say, "Oh, I've been there, peace be with you, God forgives you." "Oh, I don't want to hear that stuff, I like what I'm doing." Well, then I guess you bind yourself to your sins and not much else I can do for you. God gladly wants to step into people's sinful lives and forgive them. This is why you got called ministers of Christ. This is why you got the picture of your bulletin that's got the keys there. That's the office of the keys he gives to the church to call pastors, that the church brings to the church so that in a public way, forgiveness can be heard. And private confession can be in a place so that you can keep hearing Jesus forgives. But it's also peace that goes into the private life of his people, not just the pastor. What that means is husband and wife actually have to speak forgiveness to each other. That's a good thing. That means kids get to hear parents say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And kids have to say, please forgive me, I'm sorry. It's forgiveness, it's peace to be put right in our daily lives. Peace is finally also forgiveness to the unbelieving, because that's what the truth is, right? If we got fear and we got distress, we finally don't believe in God as much as we think we do. That's the point. Thomas had such restlessness that gave no peace until about a week later. Can you imagine Thomas and all that he was in by the demand he made, denying the disciples' witness, and then finally basically living a whole week on his terms without the peace of Jesus? His position was kind of like this. Fool me once with the Messiah being Jesus, shame on you. Fool me twice now that Jesus died on the cross, shame on me. I'll never believe. Doubt and unbelief is not as far off as we tend to do today, which is we say, oh, those are the atheists and the agnostics. Now, granted, they are unbelieving, all right? But it isn't just them. Thomas reminds us of our doubts, but he also reminds us to have a healthy habit of raising questions and look for facts rather than just be a pushover. Many times Christians today opt for an empty, hollow shell of Christian faith. They have no clue what they believe. They just say, I believe it. Unwilling to handle questions, they just say, well, we just got to do this because this is what pastor says to do, rather than looking to Scripture and really haven't taken the time to look to see what God really says for our good. Or the worst in the end is a lot of Christianity today end up being fueled by emotions. Get you all riled up, right? But we know how long that'll last. Well, it won't. And at the same time, we also know that one doubt after another will never let up. So all you have left then is unbelief, and then you're left with no peace, only emptiness, and it's purely terms. That means you're by yourself. And that doesn't work too well. Christ cared about his whole church, every single one. And that included Thomas, the straying sheep. There was nothing new to share, was there? No, Jesus appeared the next Sunday. He said, peace be with you. There's forgiveness. However, Jesus provided a special attention to Thomas, determined to speak his peace. What did he say? Do not disbelieve, but believe. And of course, you know, Thomas made a great confession. It's a bold confession. My Lord and my God. But of course, you know what Jesus said? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet, what? Believe it. Blessed are you. Because you don't demand in a way that as if God didn't save sinners and you're stuck on your terms, as if God hasn't turned with all love to you by his death and resurrection. Witnessing the risen Jesus belonged to the early Christians. You can't say, show me Jesus, because it was for them. But they didn't forget about us. Listen to what you heard today. St. John said, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus knows the doubts and unbelief in every generation, even the last days, which are filled so dark and grim. Jesus knows all the doubts. But he forgives us. He forgives us so that we can handle his word and search the scriptures and see him. And Most certainly to know and touch and taste the reality of his promise that he is present in the Lord's Supper. This peace greets the baptized even daily for you, seeking to affect every part of our life and conversation. It's just not good enough, you understand? For church on Sunday, it is every single day Jesus wants to bring that resurrected light into your life. The second Sunday of Easter is more than a moment behind locked doors. But looking at the engine, it's Jesus in his word of peace greeting a fearful, distressed, and unbelieving church, and he greets them with forgiveness. Him sending out the same church that was forgiven, he sends it out with the keys of his own kingdom as peace of forgiveness for all people. The risen Jesus delivers peace to his church, to have fellowship with God and each other, to be a flock. And what kind of flock? Based on this, forgiveness. Amen. And of course, with that forgiveness, we know comes from the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. And so we rest it all on him, because he goes before us. We have peace. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.